I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We'll talk some basketball with him, too. Justin Hagley knows a lot about basketball. He was a really good player in high school and college. Then he started to break down sports. They have these tournaments that have become so popular in Minnesota, all-day kind of events, and they lend themselves to the population that has been. It's not that it was always there, but he was able to awaken the sleeping giant that is the Minnesota fan base with a lot of these tournaments. People want to see these teams play. I was out there to watch earlier this year and watched Crete and Durham Hall, Minnehaha Academy. And right before that, it was Eastridge playing, I believe it was Prior Lake. But anyway, the list goes on and on. And he is a busy man during the winter months. He joins us now. Justin, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Always good to visit with you about basketball and this time of year and all that's going on with it. This has been a banner year in high school basketball in Minnesota, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really, that's an understatement. It's you know, from just from the Minnesota exposure itself with the events that have, you know, from our events, but even from some of the top level games and, you know, the Minnehaha, 17,000, you know, people attending a high school game, and then just the national exposure itself. It's really been one of those years that really we've been in the spotlight with everything. You really, you turn on an ESPN game on a big Monday or a Tuesday, and they're constantly bringing up Minnesota players. And just that, you know, that national recognition that we have now has really just kind of taken off. And we're just happy that we're just a small part of that, and, you know, doing what we do for high school teams and their athletes.
Well, let's start with exactly, for those that don't know, how you go about constructing a schedule. You get people together basically in one-day events, and you round up a bunch of really good teams, or it might be Minnesota against Wisconsin or Minnesota against Iowa, something like that. But explain your format and formatics as to what the goal is.
Well, for our winter events that are high school sanctioned, we begin with the girls, with our tip-off classics, and then we kind of break off to holiday border battles. But, you know, we're currently about 95% done already for next year. And how that works, or the format that we use, we just really look at programs that have top players coming back. You know, it's really a combination where, you know, programs are always going to be good. And then you have some teams that obviously have highlighted players that have, you know, college aspirations. And we have so many D1 now potential recruits that it's we would think that it's getting easier, but the depth of teams, you know, 10 years ago when we started these, you know, events that really, really started, we did it about 15 years ago, but I think about 10 years ago, we started doing that two-gang segment at Hopkins, and that really took off. Now it's, you know, now we're looking at, you know, my partner, Dean Kessler, who does a fantastic job helping select the teams, but, you know, you would think it'd be just easy identifying. Now we've got so many good teams that we turned out some teams where they're, you know, there's so many because of the depth of some of the high school programs that you would think that, hey, when we have 32 teams that we invite for the tip-off classic that we host at Hopkins girls and boys, you would think that, wow, you know, 32 teams, that's a lot of teams to pick from. But, you know, there's probably 45 that we have on our opening list.
Competitive, yeah.
And we got to tell 12 or 13 of those that, you know, that's difficult. That's a difficult conversation to have when you say it's not that they're not good enough. It's just that sometimes, you know, there's an upcoming Class A team or a Double A team, like a Henning, for example, that, you know, they may not be there for 5-10 years, but boy, they're really good for 2 or 3 years. So there's a lot of moving parts that goes into selecting, you know, the teams, but we do a pretty good job. And we run now, I think, total of 7 from that very first one in November to the last one that we just had actually in Alexandria. So we're geography balanced, but our highlighted ones are the boys and girls tip-offs, and I would say that border battle is probably number 3 on the totem pole as far as talent and stuff.
So what you have to do, I mean, and you alluded to this, be brutally honest, is you have to be able to say, you guys were really good last year, but we're looking at it saying, I don't think you're going to be as good this year. That was a dominant senior class he had, and they're gone. So, therefore, your jersey doesn't have the same brand name. I mean, in essence, that's what you get, because you want balanced, good competition. You don't want to have somebody in there that's going to get beat by 30 points.
No, and I would say probably another component that I didn't mention is the high school schedules now get made. The athletic directors, most of the prominent programs, their schedules are made by now.
For
so
next year?
Next year. So you're really prognosticating and really throwing some things out there. And now, you know, once we get the team set, we usually wait until about the fall before the matchups. Reason why?
Yeah, I see what you're doing. First, you get a commitment from the teams.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. I was at the health club last night. I'm watching this kid shoot. I mean, he's dead-eye, right? He's a good shooter. And I didn't know who he was. And as I walk out in the lobby, his dad happens to walk out at the same time. We start talking. And he's a kid playing for Hopkins that just moved in from Chicago. You know, this is his first year here. And you go, okay, well, that you know, Hopkins is a bad example because they're always going to be good. But sure. You go, no, there's a difference maker, right? And so you can play that at the end based on what you know about who's there and who left, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, and another thing is we usually just like you said, there's some players that you don't know, and there's some, you know, that come out of nowhere that may have transferred in or sitting out. But really, the tough thing is the movement that happens after the state tournament or in the summer.
You stay heads up on that.
Yeah, I mean we do the best we can. You know, the one thing that makes us a little bit different, and maybe in AAU or any of those circuits that are out there, is, you know, we follow the Minnesota State High School League and what their criteria are as far as sanctioning and everything else. And, you know, once we have a team, and this has happened to us, once we, you know, a team commits to us, a good example would be Brooklyn Center, a team that, you know, a couple of years ago had eighth graders starting, and they went to the state. You know, they went to the state tournament,
yeah, sure,
and then
did.
And then about four or five of them transferred.
Oh, it really changed. Lakai Patterson, that group.
Yep. And you know, that changed the dynamic a little bit. But what we don't do is we don't say, okay, you're not coming now. We pretty much stay close to our commitment, and
unless they want out, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're going to take this the coach's discretion, and some of them have said, hey, you know what? Even I think of like 4 years ago. I think it was Sox Center that had two of their players have ACL, and the coach just said, hey, you know, we're grateful to be invited, but, you know, this might be a year we just take a step away just because of our competition level maybe isn't going to be as what we thought it would be. So really we follow the, you know, the coaches, and we have to stay committed to that and consistent, but that, there's a lot of things that can go into it. And then all of a sudden you make a matchup too soon, and then you're turning around and you're like, shoot, we really could have had, you know, a big versus a big, or, you know, a perimeter team versus a perimeter team that would have just been great matchups, but we had that matchup. So now we wait a little bit. And I know we've done it a couple times, even on your show, where we've announced teams. And that was fun. It was kind of like a March Madness feel where you didn't know who you're playing.
Yeah, well, look at Caledonia the other night, Jackson County Central. Was it 119 to 107 or something like that?
Yeah. Yep. Yep, exactly.
So if you could get that, you'd take that all day, right?
I mean, well, that's what it's really all about. I mean, it's about promoting high school sports and basketball, but at the end of the day, you want great games. And those are the ones that, you know, are talked about and the ones that people remember. And we've had some dandies in the past that people, it's kind of fun when you were there at Hopkins and you went to that, you met, referenced the Creighton and Minnehaha, but it's fun. We've had such a good tradition, and we've been around for so long now. It's amazing that it's been 18 years, but it's kind of fun to when people remember the Dolmans from Bram when they were playing in the Litchfields, and you know, and obviously the Apple Valley, and now you kind of transform that now to where Minnehaha Academy is kind of that team that's bringing everybody. You know,
I mean, this deal tomorrow night. I don't know how people. Yeah. You know, you better get there early, but Minnehaha Academy and Eden Prairie have been on a collision course since the beginning of the year in many respects. Now, Minnehaha has lost twice. They lost to Creighton and yours, but in fairness, that was a week removed from the Prep Bowl. And then they lost to Hopkins, but they didn't have the big guy, Holmgren, playing. Right. Eden Prairie has been just unbelievable all year. They have been so good and at such a high level. They beat every good – they played a difficult schedule, and they have blown teams out. Tomorrow night, for those people not familiar, they meet at Minnehaha Academy. What say you about this matchup?
Well, it's a matchup that you definitely – you know, at this time of the year, too, you know, we always begin the season with some of these big-time games. Now – you know, it's rare just because these teams usually they get beat up, okay? And Eden Prairie, just because they play that tough schedule that, you know, three or four losses. But now you've got, you know, these two at number one ranked, and, you know, they're both the teams to beat in their class.
Oh, yeah, not even close right now. They're so far, you know, in terms of who's the teams to beat.
Yeah, and the level that they're playing at, too, right now is they're peaking. They're peaking at the right time. So this is going to be one heck of a game. They're probably going to probably have a pay-per-view for this one or something for all the people that can't.
You know, when I was a kid growing up in Gaylord, and we had these you know, great matchups in Southern Minnesota, when they used to play, when Gaylord would play Arlington or Winthrop, this seems like before our time, but it wasn't. This was in the early 70s, mid-70s. Well, those were the rivalry games, and there were some good games. There were some evenly matched years, and they used to set up a black and white TV in the auxiliary gymnasium, which was also the cafeteria. So when it got to overflow, you'd go in there. I know this seems like something you'd do now, but it doesn't seem like they're doing this. They were. And they'd run a camera and a cable out there. And for the overflow crowd, you'd watch the game in what we called the little gym or the little gymnasium because they couldn't facilitate the crowds. Not a smaller gym than what we're talking about here in the Metro. But the point is, I can remember that, and that's the kind of fervor that there is for basketball in this state.
Yeah, and, you know, you think about how, you know, with Twitter and social media and all the things now streaming that you would think that would take away, and it has. I mean, it has in some instances, but you
But it also heightens it because you can tell people right now about the big game.
Yes, and but you still have, and, you know, this, you know, and that takes back memories of when I was in high school, when I remember when, you know, my college roommate, you know, Todd Bauman, RTR in those rural areas would play Dawson Boyd. And just what you said with Gaylord is those things were occurring. And it's pretty neat that we have all this technology and even the streaming and stuff, but yet we still have these games like tomorrow night. And there's been many others where, you know, you have standby people not being able to get in, and you have areas to go watch, and it's really what it's all about. I mean, as you know, you talk to any of these. I remember I was talking to Tyus Jones one time when they played Belgrade Brutnell Rose. It was a class four and a class one at Hellenbeck Hall, and you could hardly fit a person in there. These are experiences, and some of these guys are in the NBA right now, but they will go back to those in a second as far as...
And just as important, the night that I watched Minnehaha against Crete Durham Hall, that whole, you know, that was the finale for the day at Hopkins. And it was stacked. I mean, it was six deep, right? People watching and you know, if you couldn't get there, all those things that you talk about. And I'm thinking to myself, what about for the kid that never plays basketball beyond now? What a wonderful memory this is, you know, to play in front of a crowd this big.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm sure they'll do what we probably did is, you know, and every time they come back for the holidays or Thanksgiving, they plop down a, you know, probably now it's not a VCR tape.
Yeah, pull their phone out now, right? Find it somewhere.
Now pulling a phone out and, hey, let's you know, I'm sure they're going to probably watch that, you know, until they're middle-aged, you know, men.
And beyond.
And beyond. Yeah, it never ends. And that's...
Well, and because the thing that we all learn, Justin, you know it, I know it, is you don't realize it at the time, and you don't want to tell kids this, but you learn it, and it's no one complains about this, but you will never feel as alive as you do when you're competing at whatever the highest level was that you competed at. And for many, that is, you know, the high school level. And so you keep gravitating back to that because in many respects, it was the best time of your life, in at least in one category. You know what I mean?
Sure. Well, and here's a case in point. You know, I go to some of the small college teams and, you know, and talk to some of the players that, you know, are at the D2 level or even at the D1 level, even for that matter, to Division III, and they say the same thing. And we've been saying it for the last 30, 40 years. But when you're playing in at the high school, the word fun is so much more prominent.
Yes.
And then when you graduate and you're in such a rush to get to that next level, and yep. then when it becomes, it's a job. And then it's a job, and then things sometimes don't always fall into place. So,
in fact, most times things won't fall. I mean, the truth is, most times it's not going to fall into place. I mean, you hate to say that. That's sure. brutal honesty. There's more kids sitting on the bench than are on the court.
Yep, absolutely. And those kids that are sitting on the bench at that level, they're not used to that.
Nope.
That's just not a place that they're used to.
Which makes it even worse.
Absolutely.
Having sat on the bench in a college basketball team, I can talk about this.
Hey, yeah, that myself included in that. So,
This energy and all this enthusiasm and nowhere to put it. That's hard stuff, you know. Not that it's not a good life lesson, but it's hard stuff.
It's hard stuff, and, you know, those are, you know, but at the end of the day, those hard lessons are the ones that usually make you better in the long run. And, you know, I tell you what, I mean, you know, you talking about that EP and Minnehaha game tomorrow, but this really sets up a fun stage, I think, for the state tournament. I think this.
Yeah, except these two teams can never play again this year. So it makes it kind of to some people, depending on how it plays out in the state tournament, it makes it kind of a mythical.
Right. And, you know, I think another dynamic, too, is, you know, yeah, this is the last time these two teams are ever going to compete against each other. And for these players, I mean, all these guys, I mean, both these teams have players that are, you know, national recognized players. This is the last time they're going to maybe compete against each other ever, possibly.
Yep.
So, you know, you add that to it. But, you know, Minnehaha, I think, going up to Class 3A has really balanced out Minnesota a little
yes.
bit, too. I think that's going to be a new I think this is going to be one of those years, and this goes from Class A to Class 2A, but I think you're going to get back to some upper-level seating at the Target Center for the state tournament.
Well, right now, that's the way it sets up. You know, no matter what, their championship Saturday is probably going to have some really good teams.
Yeah, there's going to be – I mean, if you survive, if you're one of those eight, and especially, you know, looking at that 3A, 4A, the, you know, those teams is that – boy, there's going to be some teams that I was just looking before you called and just looking at some of the teams that aren't going to be a part of the state tournament.
They can't because of the section they're in, you mean?
Yeah. And that kind of goes back to what we do is we set some of these games up where, you know, maybe that it was that could have been game, you know, that
yes.
we all maybe thought that that could have been the game in the state championship, but because they're in the same section or they're not in the same class, That's kind of what we do. So
that's what makes it fun, right?
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, Justin, appreciate it very much. Keep up the great work.
Sounds good, Mike. And again, we appreciate all the support you give us as well. So,
well, you've lifted a lid on, and you've poked the bear that needs to be poked in this state, and that is helping remind people that this is one hell of a basketball state, despite what some people say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You couldn't have said it better.
That's right. Thank you, Justin.
You bet. Thanks, Mike.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.